ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Turon Davenport here with us on the program. ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road, talking all things Titans. TD, good morning, man. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
All right, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Looking forward to the rookies getting out on the field. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But, TD, I want to start on Brian Callahan because we've talked a lot about him on today's show. And we know, like, if you want to, if you're a Titans fan, you can look at last year and say, man, with better quarterback play, Brian Callahan looked like a whole lot better of a coach. And I agree with that. Like, hopefully the quarterback play has improved significantly with Cam Ward this year. But as it comes to Brian Callahan as the head coach, the CEO, the leader of this outfit heading into this year, what is either the biggest difference you need to see, the step he needs to take on that front? You know, he talked at the end last year, TD, at his season in the press conference about, you know, maybe taking a step back and trying to be more overarching the guy, not just totally worried about the offense, but doing a better job of kind of getting around the entire team and improving that way. So as you look at Brian Callahan heading into year two, where do you think he needs to take the biggest jump when it comes to his responsibilities as head coach?
Yeah, I think the biggest jump that they all need to take is getting better in the second half, or at least, you know, even beyond the first couple drives. Because if you notice, they would score or have some type of production, like ball movement, the first couple of times they had the ball, and then after that, the adjustments or anything like that weren't happening. And I think that's an area where he has to improve. You are right. As you said, he wanted to get around more, get to the defensive side of the ball a little bit more. So I think an area where he has to improve is also trusting his guys on offense to be able to run that show and he leave the room and go and get incorporated more with the defense.
On the Cam Ward front, TD, what's the most important, I guess, indicator this season? If you could pick one thing, you know, it could be just wins and losses straight up, late game, or a statistical thing that you think would be the most indicative of the kind of progress the Titans are seeking, given that I don't think anybody expects them to win a ton of games this year.
Yeah, I would probably say red zone scoring or third downs. I think that's going to be the areas where you could really – it's always the area where you see, you know, okay, is this quarterback different? And I think how effective they are in those situations, those actually be some key indicators. But, I mean, it could be a lot of things. You know, you look at something like interceptions or even just something as simple as body language. Like if they have a defeated type of season, how does he manage to navigate through it? Like, is he someone who everybody looks at him and their energy drains, or is he someone that kind of gets them going? So those are a few things.
So TD, you were talking with Jared yesterday about, you know, Brian Callahan and the offensive staff incorporating things that Cam Ward did really well at Miami and trying to get to those early here with him into the season to make him as comfortable as possible. So when you watch him at Miami, and let's say I'm putting TD in charge of formulating, well, you know, what you're going to try to get to early with Cam Ward, what kind of stands out to you about things that you think can translate pretty quickly from him from the college level to the pro?
Yeah, I think how well he throws the deep over passes, and that just happens to be an area where Timmeray Dinkay really excelled. So, you know, you have that. A lot of the, you know, giving him the freedom to check at the line of scrimmage, you want to get him in the classroom and, you know, work through things and make sure that he has a good understanding so that way he could check, because you saw him do those things really well at Miami, right? And it led to some good things. You also want to make sure that you move the pocket for him. I would boot him and roll him out and run like different flood concepts and things like that. But, you know, the main thing to me is finding a way to get him on that deep over. That's one of the best throws that he makes, and he has the confidence and moxie to get it in there, you know, in the middle of the field and work that well.
this weekend, TD, non-quarterback things, what are the most interesting things in your mind or the things that you're really going to be looking at?
Yeah, I want to see Timmy on the day show, see what he looks like as far as how they start working with him on his pass rushing moves and things like that, because, you know, he's new to the position. Of course, Xavier Restrepo will be fun to watch. I want to see how much Kevin Winston Jr. moves around. Definitely want to see the receivers, right? I want to see those guys, just how they, how they move. Xavier Restrepo, as I mentioned, but, you know, Alec Iomana and Chimere Dike, DK. I want to see those guys. So those are a few. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what veteran invites they have too.
TD, you also brought up yesterday, like, Cam Ward and being unafraid to say, hey, you know, I really don't like this concept. I don't like this idea. Or, hey, this is something I really love and I want to get to. In your experience, how big of a deal is that for a rookie to have that quality where he's not afraid to come in and ruffle feathers and talk openly about what he likes, what he doesn't like at that position?
Yeah, it's huge. I saw that happen, Carson Wentz in 2016. Doug Peterson, Frank Wright, John DeFilippo, they did a great job of making him feel comfortable and getting him ready, because he didn't have that job until like a week before the season opener, you know, because that's when the Vikings, the great Rick Spielman, he sent a first-round pick in exchange for Sam Bradford. Rick Spielman's a good GM. I say that jokingly, but, you know.
Still, he thinks he's great.
Yeah, right. But what ended up happening is exactly what needs to happen with Cam Ward, as far as that, you know, when you sit down with a guy and he's able to tell you, you know, these are the things I feel comfortable with. Naturally, just like anything else, when you're comfortable with something, or if you're in sales and you got to sell something, if you don't believe in it, you're not going to sell it well. And it's just the same. If you don't believe in the scheme, you're not going to execute it well. So having that freedom and liberty to be able to tell a coach what you like and what you don't like, and that coach being receptive enough to make it happen, that's critical. And it's very important in a quarterback's development, you know, period. And especially a guy who may end up, you know, as a rookie starting on week one.
Man, if Rick Spielman and Bill Polian ever joined forces, that'd be like 10 straight Lord Super Bowls, man. My goodness, how did the league ever miss that? Along those same lines, TD, on Cam, you know, the leader, I know Chig said, you know, he's won the locker room over already and all that stuff. But, I mean, obviously, he's a rookie. Everybody knows the franchise is, it's all about him now. But, like, what's the leadership timeline for someone in his situation? You know, like, how should he approach that?
Yeah, I would probably, like, this weekend he could, you know, be a little more forceful, because it's all new guys, right, for the most part. But, you know, once OTAs and minicamp and all and through all that, I think just the process should be lead through your work. You know, there may be a time to say something, and he probably won't have any problem saying anything. I would say by the time training camp starts, like, he should be in full boss mode. That's probably the way I would look at it, because you have, you know, the off season to go ahead and just kind of get an idea for how things go and kind of dig your roots in a little bit. And then from there, you can start to branch out. But he's not a rah-rah guy, so you're not going to get, you know, all that, you know, Sunday Night Lights type of motivational speeches and things like that. What you're going to get from him is just like, you know, a guy who is going to go out there and work. He's going to know everybody, and he's knows how to push each guy's button. And I think that's one of the things that really came out when I talked to some of the different Miami players is just how he was able to relate to different ones in different ways.
So TD, you know, I still look at edge rusher with this team and get a little worried about what that could mean for this year's squad. I mean, Oladeja, we'll see. Like, you know, maybe he ends up being an impactful player right away, but it kind of feels like he's more of a project as they go along here. So, you know, you've gotten through the first wave of free agency. The draft is done. Is there anybody that's still out there edge rusher-wise that really stands out to you that the Titans should target? Do you think the Titans should target somebody else, or are you fine going into the year the way that they've got it at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, Za'Darius Smith, he had 9 sacks last year, and he's still got plenty of talent. he's not the same rusher as he was, but, I mean, 9 sacks instantly becomes more than anybody else on the team had in a single season. So he's someone I would go after, but I don't think they do anything. I think they're going to stay put, you know, with Draymond Jones and Lonzo Carter and then Arden Key, you know, Jalen Harrell, Femi Oladejo. I think they're going to rock out with that and see what that group can do, but I would definitely add to it.
How big of a deal, TD, is it that Legarius needs a round and, you know, at least appears to be moving forward health-wise while all this other stuff swirls around?
Yeah, that's major because, I mean, we just talked about the pass rush, right? And what helps the pass rush better than good coverage? And that's what we know when Snead is at his best. That's what he does really well. So it's big for him to be out there and even just getting the feel for just the leg being okay and just regaining that confidence in it and the movement and things that they're doing now. So it's major for him.
TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Have fun this weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Yes, sir. TD, our guest every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, talking all things Tennessee Titans. We'll take your reaction to what TD had to say on the Titans front. We got weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura, is back at Hermitage Golf Course coming up on Thursday, May 29th. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Looking forward to that. Also, make sure you tune in to Tully Hits 93.3 tomorrow night as the Nashville Cats take on the Albany Firebirds. Pre-game starts at 5:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Tully Hits 93.3 app and at TullyHitsNashville.com. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Interesting, Joe, to get TD's perspective on Ward there. Like, that whole dynamic is fascinating to me. Like, if you're the Titans, trying to identify what he did well at Miami in college, what are maybe some concepts that he really excelled at that you could translate and really add to your offense here in Nashville. And like Cam Ward, and TD's talked about this a couple of times, like his willingness to sit in there and say, hey, man, I really don't like this. Like, I don't like this idea. I don't like this concept. I love this. And how, like, willing Brian Callahan is to go along with that is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. You know, I brought up Mariota and his interview he did with Bussin' with the Boys a couple of weeks ago. And that's one of the things he talked about, is like he thought that early in his career that the coaches would present some things that he really didn't like the idea of, but he just didn't say anything. He was like, yeah, you know, I'll do it because the coaches are asking me to do it. So I'll just go do it. And one of the things he talked about was like, you know, rolling out, doing play action, having your back turned to the defense, don't love that. But they did it all the time in the Titans offense. And he wishes, like, one of the things he did early in his career was say, hey, I really don't like this. Let's just scrap that concept and let's go with something else. I'm interested to see, like, that dynamic between a quarterback and a coach and how quickly they can kind of get on the same page with all that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Mariota, who, as we know, he's pretty good. Yeah, he was. I mean, he was the definition of a wallflower.
I hope the first thing you hear when you get off the show is Creed.
He was a wallflower. I mean, you know, like Vrabel was immediately bothered by that, and you know, like what Eric Decker would say something, DeMarco Murray said something. So obviously, he's the extreme end of, you know, not only you know, rah rah, which again is fine. I mean, I don't think that you have to be rah rah Cousins. You know, works for him, he's a good leader, but I think the lead by example thing is real. But you got to have some voice, and especially with stuff like that, like, yeah, what do you think? Oh yeah, it's fine. I mean, that's just, I don't feel like Cam Ward, I don't feel like there's any concern there. And I feel like he's got a good he's just got a, like a swag, you know, that I think is like will serve him well as a leader if he's good. That's the thing though, right? You know, you're like, that was an interesting answer from TD, you know, that he should be kind of like ready to really be in a leadership role to start a camp. I mean, that, you know, you think about all the stuff coming at him every day, drinking out of the fire hose and all that stuff, all the pressure and all that. And then also, you know, having a sort of a feel as a leader. I do wonder about that. Like, you know, does he need to just sort of sit back in that way and then just kind of let his play do the talking. That'll be interesting. You know, that'll be one of the interesting things about camp.
Ron on the text line says, realistically, what does the Titans have to do to make you feel good and satisfied about the start of the season? And two, should we have a weak schedule this year? I mean, look at our opponents. They should win at least 7 games. This is from Ron on the text line. So Ron throwing the baseline
there we go.
At 7 wins, Joe. I mean, I am looking at their schedule. They do play the Rams and the Chiefs and the Niners. The Broncos.
Yeah. They are the AFC South.
The Texans. They do have that. I mean, look, you got Jack. I've already said it. You better not lose Jacksonville this year. I can't handle that. So that should be 2 wins right there. I mean, there are some manageable games on this. Like, you know, how good's New Orleans going to be this year? I don't think very. I don't think they're going to be very good. You know, if Vrabel's taking over year one, whenever that game happens, it's going to be a big game at Nissan Stadium. How good are the Patriots going to be? So, I mean, like, certainly you go through their schedule and – they've got some winnable games. And, Joe, as we know, it's the National Football League, and there was really no reason the Titans should have beaten the Texans last year on the road, but they did. So things like that are going to happen throughout the course of a year.
Yeah. You know, this Jacksonville thing, which I get, like the goober factor is high. But remember, you know, we brought up whoever brought that. Was it Gentry or somebody brought it up this week? You know, like, oh, yeah, it was Charles, right? Nick Sirianni,
yeah.
You know? You can be, I'm not sure that Liam Cohen's not a good coach. I'm not sure Liam Cohen – does it end up being really good for Trevor Lawrence? I mean, like the serious, like actual expectation for the Titans would be to get 2 wins out of those 4 games with the Colts and Jags, right?
Probably, but I'm hoping those 2 wins are against Jacksonville.
They both must be against Jacksonville.
I don't know if I'm going to soften on my stance on that one. I mean, look. You know, you got
Travis Hunter, 2 touchdowns on either side of the ball, man.
You got the GM out there. You know, he sounded like Mace Windu. Like, he's just out there like
a Jedi. And we want him
Jedi.
To be nothing more than him.
Like, well, what's he talking? You can't lose that. I mean, come on.
Oh,
yeah, I'm definitely not softening my stance. I will not back away from now until the season. I don't even care if, like, Brandon Allen's the starting quarterback. You better go beat the Jags twice.
By the way, shout out to Austin Stanley. I saw on, you know, very few things good on X, especially for me the last couple of days. But he had like a thing where he like spliced that speech with like the Billy Madison puppy speech about how it's industry. Like that's pretty brilliant, man. That's about right. And then it's like, you know, that's the dumbest answer you have ever heard. May God have mercy on your soul, et cetera, et cetera. Similar.
Coy in Clarksville pointing out, remember, Vrabel does not have a good record against rookie quarterbacks. He did. He got by a couple of rookie quarterbacks during his time here in Nashville. I remember Zach Wilson got him. That was quite the day.
He did. Now, wait, was that awful, awful Buffalo game I covered, was that a rookie Josh Allen or a second-year Josh Allen? Josh Allen a rookie in 18? Was Josh Allen a rookie in 18?
I believe that he was.
I think that's right. So, yeah, I mean, that was a terrible loss. I mean, that was a terrible, terrible Buffalo team with a guy who I would have told you at that point, wow, did they screw this pick up. He can't complete a crossing pattern, and they somehow lost that game.
Well,
look at him now.
We've figured it out. Vrabel's kryptonite, the rookie quarterback. Cam Ward's in good shape in that game.
I mean, seriously, though, like, the emotional stakes of that game, especially man. Inside the organization, holy mackerel. Let's hope it's the opener. Someone said earlier that Callahan, you know, will get fired like as soon as, like the day after that loss. But I mean, probably not if it's week 1, right? I think.
Brian, we appreciate the hard work you've put in, but you can't start 0-1 losing to Mike Vrabel. You're out.
Just really want him for the preseason, trying to like get some reps with Cam, and then now we'll get our actual head coach.
We're
going to
name your father the interim head coach. Now go on.
God, what if they did fire him in season? Like, would they actually have the gall to go to Bill Callahan and say, I mean, you are the most likely
that would be
coach,
awesome.
Man, you know?
It would be incredible.
What do you say, Bill?
I'm sure he'd love that. I mean, we get the schedule release next week. So the one, you know, very anticipated day around here. The schedule release that the NFL makes this big production out of. Looking forward to it, Joe.
Well, yeah, but this year they're doing apparently like some of the primetime outlets are little Easter eggs gonna, you know, give little. So we'll have a little bit of it. I don't know if that means we're gonna have the whole primetime schedule before the to schedule Reese, but at least some of them.
I need a night game between the Titans and the Patriots in Nissan Stadium. I don't care about anything else, really.
My goodness, what an amazing moment that would be.
Time for weekend winners coming up next. The Stanley Cup playoffs in full force. NBA playoffs. Joe's Dubs could be in some trouble. We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, a massive series between Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend as well in the world of college baseball. We'll get to all that and more. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Pretty good week last week in the competition. I went 4-2 with my lock. Rex Road 4-2 with no lock. Ian 3-3 with no lock, which brings the overall standings. Rex Road in first, 33-27 overall, 7-3 on his locks, good for 40 points. I am 32-28, 7-3 on my locks, 39 points, 1 point back. Ian also 32-28, 4-6 on his locks. Keys are screwed him on the locks, 36 points overall. So Ian 4 back.
I needed
that league.
Nashville SC last week.
You did. You needed it. That would have been a big difference maker in the competition there. With that in mind, we head to this week. We begin tonight, Joe, game 2 between the Dallas Stars and the Winnipeg Jets. Dallas up 1-0 in the series. Mikko Rantanen with back-to-back hat tricks dating back to last series and now this one in Game 1. Winnipeg at home. Joe, who we got? Dallas and Winnipeg tonight in Game 2.
Yeah, I just think this is destined to be a good series. I know the Jets have been awfully wobbly in a lot of this postseason, Hellebuck included, but I think they're going to get this one, even it up, and I think this one's going deep. This series will be.
Give me the Dallas Stars to take a 2-0 series lead. I think Rantanen is just on one right now. And frankly, Hellebuck's been bad in the playoffs, and they overcame it in the first round against the Blues. They're not going to overcome that against this Dallas Stars team. I'll go with the Stars. Ian, game 2, Jets, Stars. Who you got?
I'm torn on this one as well. I feel like both teams have been a little bit offensively challenged, minus Rantanen with Dallas. So give me Winnipeg at home to even the series. I'll go Winnipeg.
Going with the Jets at home in the whiteout tonight up in Winnipeg. Vanderbilt and Tennessee with a big series this weekend. We had Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on yesterday, Joe, and he talked about it. Kind of surprising that at this point of the year, Vanderbilt is ranked ahead of Tennessee. This is a big one for Tennessee in terms of, you know, probably need to win 2 out of 3 this weekend if you're Tennessee, to not be in real danger of not hosting when the NCAA tournament starts. So I'll start on this one. You know, recent history tells me that Tennessee is going to have a lot of success in this one. But I don't know. I just kind of got the feeling that Tennessee is in a bad spot right now. Give me Vanderbilt to take 2 of 3 from Tennessee this weekend and get the series win in what would be a huge weekend for Tim Corbin and the door. So I'll go Vandy boys getting the series win, taking 2 of 3. Ian Safar, who we got?
I think I'm going to go, since they're at home, give me Tennessee. It's it's been back and forth, this rivalry. Tennessee's been probably had the recent upper hand over the last little bit here. Since they're home, even though Vandy's been playing well, give me Tennessee.
Going with the Vols. Joe Rexroad, Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Who we got in the series winner this weekend?
Yeah, it's Ian and me against Robbie so far. I just got to go with the home team. I'm a little bit befuddled by their struggles of late. I think both these teams ultimately end up hosting. I don't know that either of them is really a national championship contender, but I got to go with the Vols in a kind of a desperate situation at home against a team they normally play well against.
Does Vitello make it the entire weekend without getting thrown out?
I'll say yes, but I'll say he gets close.
Okay. All right.
He'll have some words.
Game 3.
Men in blue.
Yeah, he probably will. Game 3 between the Timberwolves and the Warriors coming up. Steph Curry's status in question. Doesn't look like he's going to be available for Game 3, so we'll see. The Timberwolves favored by 5 in this matchup. Ian Safar, who you got? Wolves are favored by 5 coming up in Game 3 on the road.
I think Minnesota might win, but give me Golden State to keep it close. I'll take Golden State to cover the 5.
Going with the Warriors plus the 5 at home. Joe Rexroad, are you going with your heart? Who we got? Wolves minus 5 in this matchup.
Yeah, don't feel great about it, but I do feel like this is Steph's not going to play. They know it. They've been able to adjust to it, and I think this is such a desperate game for them. I think the Warriors will pull out a close game, or maybe they'll lose on a last-second shot, but I'll definitely take the 5 points.
Give me the Timberwolves minus the 5 in this matchup. I think without Steph Curry, the Warriors are cooked, but we'll see what happens on that front. I'll go Wolves minus the 5. We move to the individual portion of the program. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, we'll stick on the ice. We will move to the Cup playoffs. Give me Florida to bounce back next game. We'll take Florida over Toronto.
Going Florida in what is not really a must-win, but kind of feels like a must-win for them tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 3. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Whoever plays the White Sox today, I haven't looked. I don't care. Lock. And White Sox Twitter, come at me, because you know last week I didn't get it right. I will prosper with this strategy. I will prosper.
I mean, it did not work for you last week.
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch. Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes.
The sports history. Oh, God.
A true beauty of a matchup today between the Marlins and the White Sox, which I'm sure dozens will enjoy out there. But going with the Marlins minus 1.5 against the White Sox and locking down on that. I am also going Florida against Toronto. I think Florida has to win this game, and I think they're too good of a team to just go down this easy against Toronto, so I'll go Florida against Toronto in Game 3. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Yeah, Oklahoma City, Denver moves to Denver. Nuggets getting 5.5. Give me the Nuggets. I understand it was a blowout last game, a little bit of a statement game, but I think they bounce back, man. The veteran team at home, I'll definitely take those 5.5 points.
So going Nuggets plus the 5.5 coming up in Game 3 against Oklahoma City. Give me the San Diego Padres minus 1.5 against the Rockies and make it my lock.
Guarantee.
Let me tell you this. I am thriving in this competition going against the Rockies and the Pirates, and there's no reason for me to change that strategy. So I'll go Padres minus 1.5 against the lowly Colorado Rockies. Ian Safar, your second individual selection.
Okay, we'll stay in the NHL Cup playoffs. Give me Carolina, Game 3, victory, lock it down over Washington.
So locking down a win for the Carolina Hurricanes in Game 3 against the Washington Capitals. It's been an interesting series so far. Like for the majority of it, Washington hasn't generated hardly anything, but they did win last night. So good win for them. That series tied up at 1. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Yes, yeah, I see your success with the Rockies, and that's what I'm trying to do. It's like that Pat Robertson, gift, like, Lord, I see what you've done for others, and I want the same for me. I need my White Sox to start coming through for me. All right, my last one, Cavs, Pacers. Pacers at home minus 3.5. I haven't even seen who exactly the Cavs are going to have. The Cavs are going to bounce back. I think the Cavs and Celtics both have a real chance still to win both those series. Cavs are going to bounce back. Give me the Cavs plus 3.5.
Going the Cavs plus 3.5 on the road, down 0-2 against the Indiana Pacers. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Okay. Going with my heart pick here, Boston Knicks, Game 3, headed back to New York in the Garden. Boston trying to bounce back. I think Boston probably wins, but give me the Knicks plus 5.5.
Knicks plus the 5.5 against the Celtics. Now, will the Celtics be up by 20 points at any point in this game? Because that may be exactly where the Knicks want them.
I do feel like it's a little bit mental at this point as far as, New York keeping it close. I could see Boston winning. I don't know if they'll be able to pull away given what's been going on lately. So I'm going to keep the Knicks with the 5.5.
Rexroad, I've never seen anything like it. If you get Boston up by 20, it's exactly where the Knicks want them in this series.
Yeah, once you get to about 16 or so, start turning it over, okay? start just launching some air balls so you can't get to 20, and you'll be fine.
Give me the Braves minus 1.5 against the Pirates. I know Braves fans are mad. They're upset with the way things are going, but you got the Pirates today, and Skeens isn't on the mound. So if Skeens ain't on the mound, which frankly, sometimes that hadn't mattered if he is this year so far, give me the Braves minus the 1.5 against the Pirates. Baseball noted expert, Robbie Stanley, ladies and gentlemen, in this competition.
You know the teams that are buns. But, I mean, you know, let's give those White Sox a chance, though. I think they can be buns, too.
Measuring cheek size.
I mean, it really is in professional sports. It's kind of amazing that the Colorado Rockies are 6-31. You know how hard it is to be 6-31 through 37 games in Major League Baseball?
I mean, they had a doubleheader with the Tigers yesterday. It was like a combined score of like 23-3. Just like, I mean, they are a double A team.
Yeah, I saw it was like 1-0. Then all of a sudden Detroit scores and they show it and it's 11-1.
You know,
final all of a sudden.
Especially in that sport, like you really should kind of have a natural advantage if you're the Rockies because you play half your games at altitude where you can hit some pop flies and they just travel over the fence. I mean, you should have somewhat of an advantage, and yet they're always terrible.
Yeah, their opponents also like playing in that stadium. But, yes, it's a little bit head-scratching.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will wrap things up heading into the weekend. Coming up next, set you in to the world of sports heading into the weekend, the Stanley Cup playoffs, Titans rookie minicamp going on. We'll get into all of it. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com. /get it all live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It's always about great service. Final segment of the day. Joe, Pablo Torre put it out earlier this morning that Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, is now banned from North Carolina's football facility. And one of the quotes in here from apparently a Belichick family source is, quote, "There is deep worry for how detrimental Jordan can be for not just North Carolina, but Bill's legacy, reputation, everything he's built and worked for over decades." That is apparently the latest development on the Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson front at North Carolina, with Pablo Torre putting it out there that Jordan Hudson now banned from North Carolina's football facility. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, whoever that source is, calm your ass down. Good God. It's going to ruin his entire existence on earth. I mean, he's taking some jokes. It might not go well in North Carolina. You know, I mean, he's still Bill Belichick. Let's calm down a little bit. Also, she is now retweeting things that suggest that this is all BS. So it'll be an interesting day on the Belichick front. At least some of it happened while our show was still going on. Hooray for us.
Who's enforcing that? Like, is there somebody from North Carolina's administration like standing outside of the football facility? Like, you shall not pass.
Well,
you're not
also,
going
like,
in.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, so did he break up with her? Like, you're telling me that the head football coach is okay with his significant other being banned? Like, would that be the first time ever? I mean, what?
It's an interesting report from Pablo Torre.
Yeah. There's more info needed there. Also, you know, Greg Allman, friend of the show, not Greg Allman, Greg Allman, friend of the show, retweeted a Jordan Schultz report, said the Giants and Gabe Davis finalizing a one-year deal worth $8.5 million. Problem is, the Jordan Schultz account is at hello 014258. You got Greg Allman.
Allman got duped.
Party foul.
He got
like,
duped.
Dude, are the Giants this dumb? Holy crap.
Yeah. Come on, Greg. We got to be. Now, Greg, you know. Have we had Greg on the show? I think we may have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
friend of the show.
Greg Allman. Heck yeah. Oh, he's a beast.
I do miss football season.
Now he's covering the NFC South.
Of the, you know, I think sometimes people who cover the Titans take the play-by-play on Twitter stuff a little bit too far. But at least it's not literally play-by-play. Greg Allman, man, of the covering the Bucs. It's like, well, there's a 3-yard carry, 2nd and 7 coming up. It's like, all right, Greg, I don't know that we need that.
Absolutely. Now, I will say, our boy Johnny Glennon and T-Max, Harry McCormick, they give you a lot of play-by.
They
I think
do.
Those are the top play-by-play guys on the beat.
They
a little bit too much. But, you know, it's sometimes better than whatever Kaharsky's doing.
I'm interested.
Complaining about whatever he's eating from the, you know, media food.
I don't know that I buy the Pablo Torre report that Hudson has been banned from North Carolina's football facility. That
someone going to
like
be calling in security. Yeah. Jordan's here. Yeah, somebody needs to
come
down.
We need you to come get her. Bill, don't watch.
Everybody
just go back out to the
clear
field.
The field. Clear the
field.
Alarm,
like the alarms go off. They're like throw her against the wall. Like, what are you doing?
But, I mean.
How could she be banned? Like, the only way she would be banned is, like, they've broken up, right?
You would think. I don't know.
Surely we would have heard something about that.
But that's like that'd be the big news item, right? Like, there's no way it's an actual fact that she's banned if they're still together. Like, why would he?
Or Jordan breaks up with Belichick after being banned from team facility.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Well, maybe she's about to find out today, and she's about to do that. But yeah, she is retweeting things about this being a dumb conspiracy theory. So I don't know. I think what she put
CBS
out,
to get back in there. Let's do another interview. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, she'll probably release another email that Belichick wrote about something that maybe she actually wrote. But
what's that going on? Snapface. Let me get that on there. Yeah, good.
Snapface. Matthew Nesfield said he got duped. Like, ESPN constantly gets duped by Richard G. West. Is that true? Who gets duped by Richard G. West? I mean, I have before.
Yeah,
I see a lot. I have before. But like, is someone from ESPN actually buy into that?
I don't know. I'm sure it's happened. Kevin says, you got to admit that the fact that Mr. No Distraction is one big, huge distraction now takes a lot to stay focused for 40-something years that goes away. I think Bill finally just ran out of a-hole, as Kevin puts it on the text line.
Yeah. Kevin, easy, man. You don't make us say swear words on the air. That would be farted up, okay? Yeah, take it easy on us, man.
I mean, to his larger point, this does seem to fly, all this, kind of directly in the face of everything he's always been about. A lot of distractions.
Yes, no question. And I don't love what it says about what's coming from North Carolina football. Maybe I'll be wrong. But, yeah, again, like, whoever's in his family, like, it's going to be okay, all right? Like, this is not going to, like, wipe his estate off the face of the earth or anything. Well, I guess there is some, I don't know, there's some reporting on, like, you know, real estate stuff, but who knows, man. This is just a complete mess. And, I've not thought it was going to end well, but I can't believe it's going to end this poorly, that she would be banned from the facility.
I mean, I'm looking at North Carolina's schedule. This year, nice, interesting opening game against TCU. So there's nice. I mean, week three matchup against the Richmond Spiders. So that'll be tough.
Okay.
For all Belichick, right.
don't sleep on my Spiders.
But I mean, you got Clemson and Syracuse and NC State. Some interesting games on there.
See how but it that's goes. The thing. The
NCC sucks. I'm looking at this. I know. Not very good teams.
Like, he's gonna win 9 games falling out of the crib. I mean, his bed. You know. I mean. So, it is. It's going to be hard to judge. Yeah, thank you. It's going to be hard to judge, like what he's doing instantly, because you're coming right into, like, you should be able to beat most of the teams on your schedule.
I'm interested to see how it goes. I mean, at this point, does he make it to game one? I guess, like, what's going to happen between now and
then?
What
does a Belichick college offense look like?
That's a good question.
Is it, is he going pro style? Is he doing anything crazy? There's not too many pro style anymore.
Is he going in the full college spread? 5 wide?
I mean, that's the thing. Belichick with the Patriots really brought a lot of those Mike Leach concepts, almost 20 years ago. So that is a great question. I would assume it'd be a little bit more, two tight end, maybe have a fullback in there or some, but I don't know.
I mean,
let's hope we get to talking. It's refreshing to talk about Bill Belichick in football,
I'm kind of excited for, when he and Dabo, like, dapping it up at midfield. I think that could be really interesting to see on Saturday, October 4th.
Absolutely yucking it up. He'll just, he'll love Dabo. Keith says his players have to think this is a clown show, right? Yeah. Like, if you're a player at North Carolina right now, man, like, what are you thinking? Have you been given orders to escort Jordan Hudson off the premises?
Are you happy or sad that she's been banned if you're a player? I'm not sure.
The players are the one that did the banning. Coach, we really don't need her in here. Thank you, though. Appreciate it.
Well, this will be an interesting day. I imagine we're going to – I mean, something has to be coming soon here. I mean, because Pablo Torre, that's legitimate. I mean – really interesting.
It's very interesting. Hope everybody enjoys the playoffs this weekend. Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs in full swing. Tennessee and Vanderbilt in the weekend series. We'll be back to discuss it all on Monday morning. Have a great weekend. Chasing Big Joe's coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.